Proverbs 18:24, notice the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Amen. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Let's read that together when I say begin. Ready? Begin. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Been dealing with the subject of wisdom from above out of Proverbs. Been quite some time in this book of the Bible, but I've been enjoying it, and I trust you have as well. A lot of different topics here, and you see what we're dealing with tonight. So let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we thank you for this evening. It's a joy to be here tonight. And Lord, I pray as I preach the message that you've laid on my heart for this evening, that you'd use it to bring glory to yourself. Lord, I know this is a large topic. The more you dig in the Bible, the more gold you come up with, and the more precious truths you find. And so, Lord, I pray as I preach the portion of this subject that you led me to tonight, that you'd please use it again to speak to our hearts. And may your word go forth with power and clarity. I do ask if someone's here tonight that's not saved, that tonight they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then for those of us that do know you, that you'd give us a better understanding of this subject this evening. And we ask your help now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Earlier this year, 2023, obviously, the U.S. Surgeon General published what they called a public advisory. It was a public advisory dealing with something that they said is one of their, quote, current priorities. Now, when I read that portion of it, thinking, okay, the U.S. Surgeon General, current priorities, wonder what it is. Maybe cancer, heart disease, drug abuse. Well, the advisory bore the following title, quote, the epidemic of loneliness and isolation. A public advisory on that, the federal government gave. The advisory stated that, quote, today loneliness is more widespread than other major health issues in the United States. Our epidemic of loneliness and isolation is a major public health concern. It's amazing to me. I did a little more research and I found a similar article that appeared in the health section of the U.S. News and World Report. It was entitled similarly, quote, an epidemic of loneliness is a threat to our health. Dr. Michelle Lewis, she wrote an article in Psychology Today, not a fundamental Baptist think tank. But she wrote, there is a worldwide increase in adolescent loneliness. Nearly twice as many adolescents in 2018, so this was a few years back, as compared to 2012, are dealing with severe loneliness. As the culture shifts to greater smartphone access and higher internet use, loneliness is at a record high. And I think, well, that doesn't seem to make sense. It does, but on the surface, it seems odd. Well, not really. You see, today, most people have upwards of 150 online friends. That's what they call them. And many have thousands of online friends. I mean, you look at their social media accounts, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn or Snapchat, Tinder, whatever it is, other social media accounts, you will see that people have lots of friends. At least that's what they say. You know, Pew Research tells us that 49% of internet users today say that they use social media as their primary source of making friends. Many people have become obsessed with this thing, with the number of friends they have online, with the number of followers they have, with the number of likes that they have, page hits, views that they generate on their social media page. And they have this illusion that those things somehow make them more popular or somehow will make them feel better about themselves, or somehow give evidence of the number of real friends that they have. But the truth of the matter is this, those things have nothing to do with real friendship. Nothing at all. You see, social media has brought loads of people into other people's lives that they really never would have met in the real world or under what we would consider normal circumstances. I mean, you can chat with all kinds of people, all kinds of random people online. They have forums, they have hobby sites, they have chat sites, they have apps. Yet, despite coming into contact with all kinds of people online, you really aren't friends with someone until you've spent time together in real life. You get to know them in real life, and then they mutually choose to spend even more real life time with them. That's what a real friend is. Not this, you're my friend online. See, the truth is, and I know this is an argument to that, I didn't realize how much until I was preparing this message. You cannot truly know what someone's like online. Now, people argue you can. I heard all kinds of articles say, you can have real friends online. Oh, yes, you can. And I argue, no, you can't. Because you cannot truly know what someone is like online. Another article, according to Pew Research, 46% of people give at least a little and sometimes a good deal of false information in their online profiles. That's about half of the people. They lie about what they're like. They make up things. They say things that aren't true. Dr. Courtney warns, this is the world talking now, another Psychology Today writer, said this, quote, people directly lie about their lives, which is often an effort to make themselves look more desirable or positive. We know this, right? This isn't news to us. Right. Two-thirds of people lie about their weight. 43% of men admitted to making up facts about themselves and their lives that were not true. People present an image of themselves and their lives that is imprecise or less than comprehensive, leading the viewer to believe falsehoods. Only 18% of men and 19% of women said that their Facebook page displayed a completely accurate reflection of who they are. And then they said that they shared really only those, quote, non-boring aspects of their lives and were not as active in real life as their social media accounts appeared. We all have, you know, mundane lives at times, right? Every day's not exciting. But boy, go to people's Facebook page and you think every day was an adventure. That's a lie. And it may feel like if you're doing this sort of thing as far as social media, it may feel like your social circle is growing, but it's not in reality. Because they're not true friends. They're not. And the loneliness data supports this, doesn't it? If they're true friends, why is everybody so lonely then? Right. Something is wrong. Amen. You know, the number of friends is not as important as the trueness of friends. And we're going to look at that tonight. Tonight I want to preach on this subject using this verse here as a little bit of a springboard. We'll wrap around back to it at the end. And that is this, the wisdom of finding, and you might want to add this as well. If I was thinking about this title as I was coming up here a little bit earlier. Add this, the wisdom of finding and being
Amen.
A true godly friend.
Amen.
The wisdom of finding and being a true godly friend.
Amen.
Now, as you look at the Word of God, we understand there are many relationships that the Bible deals with.
Right.
Now, the first and most important one is the relationship between God and man.
Amen.
That's what the Bible's really about. That's the most important relationship
Amen.
Dealt with in the Bible because of our sin, because of the fall of man. We have been separated from God. God wants to restore us back
Amen.
To himself, back to a relationship with him. And that can only be done, we understand, I hope tonight, through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise
through his death, burial, and resurrection, he died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, paid for our sin debt in full. And if someone will simply repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, praise the Lord, they're restored
Amen.
To fellowship with God.
Amen.
That's the most important relationship. And by the way, that's really, in essence, the only relationship we need.
Right. Amen.
It really is. And then there's also, we know, the husband and wife relationship. And, of course, God deals with that throughout the Bible. He deals with it in Genesis chapter 2. We hear things about it in Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks here. And 1 Peter chapter 3. The Bible has a lot to say about what marriage is and the relationship between a husband and wife. That's a very important relationship.
Right.
It's a relationship that establishes the home. And then there's a parent-child relationship. There's another one. Again, parents, children, that sort of thing. But then there's also this relationship the Bible speaks of called friendship. And that's what we're dealing with tonight. Friendship. That's a relationship that God talks about in the Word of God. And from the beginning, understand, God has created mankind with a need for fellowship. We really need that. I like fellowship. I hope you do as well. We're all different in our personalities. I get that. But we should enjoy that. I mean, do you want to go out and live on an island with nobody around all by yourself for the rest of your life? If you say I do, well, you're weird, all right? I'm just saying. You're a little weird, okay? Most people don't want that, okay? Most people like to have a little bit of interaction, you know? And you may be, well, I'm just so tired of people. That sounds pretty appealing to me tonight. But no, no, no. If you were out there, you wouldn't like it after a while. So understand, God did not leave us on this earth to dwell alone.
Amen.
He did not. We're left here to minister to and with other people. And while in a post-fall world, friendship can be difficult, understand having and being a true godly friend is one of life's greatest blessings.
Amen.
It really is. And so tonight I want to talk about that. Let's find out what does it mean to be a godly, true godly friend, and how do we find a true godly friend? Again, a man that hath friends must showeth himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's talk about this subject this evening. Number one, let's look at the definition of a friend. Now, this is simple. I'm going to breeze through this here. The definition of a friend. Now, we find the word friend here, of course, and its form is at verse 24 of our text. But what exactly is a friend? The word friend is mentioned in 99 verses of the Bible. 66 verses in the Old Testament talk about friends, friendships, and so forth. 33 verses in the New Testament. 18 verses in the book of Proverbs speaks of friends. Again, Solomon penning these words to his son, Rehoboam. We know it's inspired words of God for us, God our Father penning the words to us. And he's telling us a lot about friends. The Old Testament Hebrew word most frequently used for friends is the word rhea, and the New Testament Greek word most frequently used is the Greek word philos. So I'll give you the definition here in a moment. But let's first talk about, we're going to go through this quick. I know there's a lot of blanks here, but letter A, the meaning of friendship. So what is a friend? In general, we're talking now. A friend in general is, notice, one who is attached to another by affection. That's a general definition for the word. One who is dear to another. One who has for another sentiments of esteem, respect, and affection, which leads you to desire that person's company. That's what a friend is. It's one who is allied in a cause or a comrade. The word Hebrew word rhea, if you'd looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, you'd see it is a close associate, a companion, a fellow, phileo, the New Testament word, is the same thing, a comrade or a companion or a partner. I think we understand what a friend is. Somebody you like to hang out with, somebody you do hang out with, if you will. The first occurrence is found in Genesis 26, 26, where the Bible says, then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. So we find that Abimelech, and we don't know a whole lot about him and Ahuzath. The Bible says they were friends. In other words, they were attached to one another by acquaintance. They were dear to one another, and they were allies. allied, and so forth. The last occurrence is 3 John in verse 14, where the Bible says, "But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be unto thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet thy friends by name." So notice John, as he's penning these words, talks about him having friends. He had friends. And so again, friends are people that are allied in a cause, have sentiments for one another, and are dear to one another. They are friends. Okay, that's simple. All right, letter B. How about the potential of friendship? So we understand what a friend is, someone that you hang out with, if you will, that's dear to you, spend time with. But think about here the potential of friendship. Some people might say, well, I don't want any friends. Well, you don't have to have any friends. But, you know, it is a good thing to have friends, and I'll show you why here in a moment. Go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, often we use this, and there's a lot of applications to the verses I'm going to read here, but the most prominent application that's used is with marriage. I've used this verse probably in several different marriage ceremonies, talking about 1, 2, and 3. And notice in verse 8 or 7, "Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun." Notice there is one alone, and there is not a second. So we talk about someone who's just there by himself. He is there, or she is there, alone. "Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also a vanity, yea, it is a sore travail." So here's one that's alone, and he's saying, you know what, who am I working for? Who am I going to leave stuff to, and what am I doing? What am I living for here, other than myself? I'm laboring and working for what? And so we say that that's vanity. But notice verse 9, he says, "Two are better than one because they have a good," Ecclesiastes 4, I said 3. I'm sorry, chapter 4. I wonder, everybody's like looking around. I thought, I don't know, maybe they're talking about how good friends they are with the person next to them. No, I am so sorry. Verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And so again, we often use this principle about marriage, but it goes beyond marriage, and let's apply it to friendships here tonight. Notice in verse 8, he says there is one alone. So again, it is possible for you or for me to go through life without any friends. You can, if you want to do that. But life can be so much better and will be so much better. Right. And so much more can really be accomplished for God, right, with Amen. True godly friends.
Amen.
Verse 9, notice two are better than one. In other words, two can do much more together than each of those individuals can do alone. Because a true godly friend will increase the potential and productivity of your life. Now, you may have heard, I'm sure you have, heard of the principle of synergy, right? Meaning that we can accomplish more together with someone, much more than we could do alone as individuals. Of course, the likeness or the illustration is given of a pulling competition with horses. And years ago, they had one. I'm sure they have them all the time. And this particular one I heard about, the winning horse pulled 4,500 pounds. He took first place for the most poundage pulled. The second place horse pulled 4,400 pounds. And then someone at the end thought, let's put them together. Let's see how much they could pull together. Well, I would think, 45 plus 44 is 89. So probably around 9,000 pounds. Well, when they put them together, they pulled nearly 12,000 pounds.
Right.
You say, how does that happen? I don't know. But it does. You know what it's like when you're working with someone? I don't know, your energy level goes up. Your stamina goes is longer. You work harder when someone is with you. That's just what you do. And so, yeah, two are better than one. So, yeah, you can go through life without friends. But it's really better if you have friends, good, godly friends. Notice verse 10, another reason. If someone stumbles and, chapter 4, Brother Strong, verse 10. When someone stumbles and falls, notice the other can help him up. That's a good thing. If you're by yourself, that doesn't happen. Right. Verse 11, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. So in a battle, guess what? That you can help one another. And so my point is this, friendship can be a very, very good thing.
Right. Amen.
Very good thing. So this is what it means when we're talking about the definition of a friend, the meaning of a friend, and the potential of friend. All right, number two, write this down. Let's talk about the distinction of friends. Okay, you say, all right, so I'm going to go out and get me some friends. Well, hold up a minute. There's more to the story. It's not just about getting friends. You see, the Bible is very clear. It's interesting. I went through reading some of the verses on, not all of them, but not all 99, but a good portion of them I saw. And I noticed that there's two types of friends in the Bible. And by the way, there are two types of friends that you and I can have. It's not hard. This is simple, right? And by the way, we must be able to make this distinction. Oh, I'm not supposed to go over here. I forgot about that. Am I good to go over there? We're good to go. We have to, as Christians, be able to make this distinction, okay? Is this person a good friend? Or is this person a bad friend?
Right.
So again, it's not just about, well, I'm going to go make myself some friends. No, you better be careful because the Bible is very clear. There are good friends out there, and there are bad friends out there.
Amen.
And good friends are the ones we want to keep.
Right.
And bad friends are the ones we should abandon. And stop being their friends.
Right.
Now listen, we should be friendly to everyone. We get that, right?
Amen.
There's a difference between having a friend and being friendly. We should be kind and friendly to everyone, right?
Amen.
Jesus was a friend of sinners. Certainly, we should be as well. We should love the world. We should love all people.
Amen.
But not everybody should be our friend.
Right.
Because there's good friends and there's bad friends.
Right.
So let's look at the two. Letter A, write it down. Good friends. There are people that we can choose to be around that are good to be around.
Right. Amen.
Good friends. They're godly people. And I'm going to give more details of this in a moment, a little bit later. They encourage us to do right.
Amen.
They encourage us to do more for God. They are a blessing to be around.
Amen.
And when we are around them and we leave them, we are better Christians after being around them.
Praise the Lord.
There are people like that.
Praise the Lord.
Those are good friends.
Amen.
Now, perhaps one of the most familiar good friendship stories in the Bible is that of David and Jonathan. I mean, I think you probably knew where we were going here. Let's look at a couple things. Can't go extensively into it tonight, but go back to 1 Samuel 18. I'm a little tentative about all my locations here. I hope I got them right. 1 Samuel 18. Let's talk about some things. What was it? Why was David and Jonathan a good friendship, a godly friendship? Why were they true godly friends to one another? Well, we're going to see why in a little bit. 1 Samuel 18:1. Of course, you know chapter 17. David just slayed Goliath, right? And he came back with his head in his hand, and Jonathan saw that. And of course, David stood up. Is there not a cause and all that? And it was a great, great time. And Jonathan, Saul's son, sees all of this.
Right.
And the Bible talks about his heart being knit with David.
Praise the Lord.
Jonathan was no Saul, by the way. Notice in verse 1, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Why is that? Can't get into all the passage, but here's why. What was it? David's love for God and David's faith in God knit Jonathan and David's heart together because they both loved God and they both wanted to serve God. And by the way, that was the root of their friendship.
Praise the Lord.
And so no wonder this was a good friendship.
because the foundation was good because they both loved God and wanted to serve God. I go over to chapter 19 and verse 1. Now, you know the story that Jonathan, of course, Saul wanted to kill David. He hated that song, didn't he? Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. I'd love to have a picture of Saul's face every time they sung that song. Just the scowl that was there, because, boy, that just rubbed him the wrong way. And of course, he wanted to kill David. And he attempted it many times already by throwing spears at, casting javelins at him. Did it twice, by the way. And then he tried to murder him in verse 25 by sending him out to get killed. But notice in chapter 19, verse 1, and Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. So here's Jonathan. I don't know where they were. I'm not sure I remember. Maybe I'm just imagining they're at the table there. Maybe not. Maybe it was a meeting. Whatever the case is, Saul says to all of his servants, I want you to kill David when you see him. And Jonathan heard it. Jonathan knew that wasn't right.
Right.
You don't slay a man for no reason.
Amen.
And Jonathan knew that David didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
And so verse 2, but Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan, notice, he told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. Notice, that's a good friend.
Right. Amen.
Because he was honest with David. He told him the truth, and he placed doing right above any family ties that he had with his father.
Amen.
That could have cost him his life, by the way.
Right. Amen.
But he wanted to do right, and he wanted to be honest because they were friends. That's the mark of a friend.
Amen.
More later. Go over to 1 Samuel 23. Let's look at another thing. Of course, David's on the run. And chapter 23 and verse 15. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. So here's David, and he's in the wilderness, and he's got nothing. And notice verse 16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. So notice what he does. This is what a friend does. Here's a friend in a great time of need, and Jonathan goes out there to help him and to encourage him. So understand, humanly speaking, I know God's on the throne. I understand God's sovereignty, all of that. But humanly speaking, Jonathan's friendship with David made a huge difference in David's life.
Right.
He kept going for God.
Amen.
And that's what a good friendship does.
Right.
That's what it does. And this is the type of friendship you want.
Right.
A good one.
Amen.
So you can have good friends. But you know, you can have bad friends too. That's letter B, by the way. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. And I'm going to get more in detail into what a good friend is here, so I just breezed over them on purpose. But notice 2 Samuel 13. Notice the word friend is used again here. We read in verse 1, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, by the way, that's David's third son, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So here is Amnon. He's struggling there. He has an ungodly lust for his half-sister that he's fighting there, and he's going back and forth. But notice in verse 3, but Amnon had a friend. I want to say the same thing, some friend.
Right.
Whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed. Here, I got a plan for you. This is what he's saying here. And make thyself sick, and when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress some meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. And that's exactly what he did. I won't go on for time's sake. So Jonadab was Amnon's friend, but he wasn't a good one.
Right.
Because Jonadab, he didn't love God.
Right.
He didn't want to do what was right. He was not honest with Amnon. He encouraged Amnon to do... This is the exact antithesis of David and Jonathan.
Right.
He encouraged him to do the wrong thing, and his friendship with Amnon led Amnon into trouble. That's what it did, and into sin. And then he abandoned Amnon after the sin in his time of need.
Right.
That was not a good friendship.
Right. Amen.
And that's not the type of friend that you and I want. Here's my point. All of us need to be careful. You know, a lot of times we preach these messages and say, well, this would be good for the teens. Yeah, it'd be good for us too.
Amen.
I'm well aware of where they were. I was supposed to do the marriage thing. I'm doing that next week because I know they're away. And this is good for us.
Amen.
Because we need it.
Amen.
We need to be careful who we enter into close friendships with. And we should be looking for relationships with good, godly, true, godly friends.
Amen.
And avoiding relationships with bad friends.
Amen.
You know, just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean you have to be their friend.
Right.
It's true.
Amen.
Be friendly to all, but be careful of who your friends are. Be careful.
Amen.
Which leads me to number three. And this is the big one. So we see the definition of a friend. We see the distinction of friends. There's good friends and there's bad friends. Then let's talk about number three, the description of a true godly friend. So, okay, so preacher, I get it. I see what you're saying, that it's good to have friends. Of course, that helps us in our Christian life, makes us more productive. We get encouraged. Two are better than one. I see that. And then I see you're saying that, yeah, there's good friends and that there's bad friends and that we're supposed to choose the true godly friends. Well, how do I find them? Where are they? Where's my radar for that? What am I looking for? Well, let's find out, because there are some Bible characteristics of a true godly friend.
Amen.
What are they? Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. There's more, but here's 5. I'm going to go through them quick. Number one is this. A true godly friend, listen closely, cares for you with no expectations.
Amen.
Listen closely now.
Good.
He cares for you with no expectations. You remember, and I was thinking of some verses about this, but do you remember when David and Goliath and Saul had said, you know, oh, whoever slays Goliath, I'll give him money, he'll be rich, and you can have my daughter, and you'll be tax-free in the nation. And David said, I don't want that. David said, is there not a cause?
Amen.
The cause is a cause for God.
Right.
And so a friend, he cares for you with no expectations. You see, a true godly, he's not expecting to get anything is what I'm trying to say.
Amen.
You see, a true godly friend seeks to be a blessing to another without expecting anything in return.
Amen.
You know, some people befriend others for self-serving reasons. They are your friend primarily because of what they get out of you. That's not a true godly friend. They want a friend so that their own needs are fulfilled. You know, some people are looking for a friend to fulfill an emotional need. A lot of people do that. They have an emotional need, and so they want you to fulfill that need. I'll be your friend, but you have to fulfill me emotionally. That's not what a true godly friend does. If someone gets upset if you don't contact them every day, text them every day, or respond to their text or their phone call immediately, that's not a true friend. How come you didn't text me back right away? What's going on? What's going on? Who do you think you are? That's what I want to say. What do you think, I don't have a life or something here? What do you think, my life revolves around you? Yeah, I'm just sitting here with my phone like this, waiting for you to text me so I can text you back. That's my life right there. That's what it is. But some people have this idea that they have strings attached to friendship. They say, I expect this. By the way, if someone gets upset, if you have other friends besides them or closer friends than them, that's not a true friend either. I got to be number one. You know, it's me. That's why I got to be number one. How come you're hanging out with them more than you're hanging out with me? That's not a true godly friend. So a true friend strives to be a blessing to the other person without expecting anything in return. But some people, again, they want to be a friend because they want you to fulfill their emotional needs. Some people want you to fulfill, it may not be an emotional need, maybe they want you to fulfill their financial needs. The Bible talks a lot about that. Listen to this, Proverbs 14:20. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. That's not good friends, by the way. That's that friend's, you know, bad friend. He's got money. Oh, he's got friends. They're going where he's going, man. That's where they're going. Proverbs 19:4. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Proverbs 19:6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Some people befriend people who they know because they know they'll buy them things. It's quiet in here. They'll buy stuff for me. Or they'll take me places. Or they'll pay my way. They'll buy my dinner. Or they'll bail them out in time of a financial need or trouble. Or they'll loan them money or give them money. And they're their friend because they need that financial need met. That's why. That's not a true godly friend. Not a friend at all. You see, a true godly friend cares for you with no expectations. Number two, a true godly friend, watch this, leads you in the right direction. Amen. Hebrews 10:25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's what a friend does. He provokes others, considers others, and provokes them to love and good works. You see, a true godly friend will encourage you to be a better soul winner.
Amen.
A true godly friend will encourage you to be more faithful to church.
Amen.
A true godly friend will encourage you to do more for God, to be a better Christian, and that true godly friend, you're better off after being around them.
Amen.
I love this verse, Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's a true friend. Well, when I'm around somebody and I just walk away from them encouraged, and just wanting to do more for God, wanting to live more for God, I'll tell you what, that is a friend. That is a friend right there. But if I walk away from somebody and I want to kill myself because I feel like I just went into some depression mode there and everything, the world is, you know, the sky's falling down and everything else, and they just want to drag everybody down around them, I don't want that as a friend. I don't.
Amen.
Now, I'll be kind, friendly, but I'm not looking for that in a close friend. I don't need that. So number one, he cares for you with no exceptions. Number two, he leads you in the right direction. Number three, he tells you what you need to hear.
Amen.
Not what you want to hear,
right. But
what you need to hear.
Lord.
Some people only have friends if they tell them what they want to hear. Not Proverbs 27:6. Faithful, notice, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In other words, a true godly friend, he's going to tell you when you're doing wrong. If he's a friend, he will.
Amen.
A true godly friend is going to confront you when you are out of line. He's going to call you out when you're making lame excuses for things. He's not going to let it lie. He's going to confront you with it. He's going to confront you when you need to be corrected. Now, no doubt that should be done in the spirit of Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You don't look down your nose at that person and say, that. But you do confront them and tell them what they need to hear. That's what a true godly friend does.
Amen.
You looking for one now still? There's a fourth thing. A true godly friend, fourthly, bases the friendship on trust. By the way, all relationships are built on trust. You want to break up and mess up a relationship, start doing things to break the trust. Because relationships fall apart when the trust is gone. And so a friend is the same way. When you befriend, if somebody is a true godly friend, they understand the importance of trust. Amen. And that relationship is built on trust. You see, Proverbs 22:11, I thought this was an interesting verse. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The king likes them because this guy's honest. This guy's, you know, he's trustworthy. And that's what a true godly friend is. You want to find a true godly friend? Look for someone who's truthful.
Right.
Look for someone who's honest. Look for someone who, none of us are perfect, I get that. But look for someone who's trustworthy, who's caring, who is genuine, who's not a fake.
Right.
Look for someone who's not putting on a show. They're pure in heart. And they have no ulterior motives. Proverbs 27:14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. That guy's a fake. He's saying things just to be heard. He's blessing with his friend. And it's not genuine. Proverbs 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. In other words, that when they hear something from their friend, they don't use it against them. They don't save it for later. They don't go around spreading it to other people. They are trustworthy people. That's what they are. And they care for that person.
Amen.
Well, that's a true godly friend. And then there's a last one. Notice he cares for you with no expectations. He leads you in the right direction. He tells you what you need to hear. He bases the friendship on trust. And then letter E, he does not abandon the friendship. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, we've all heard of fair-weathered friends. I think we all have heard that. Do you know that one of God's purposes for true friendship is the same as it is in marriage, in that it is to display the love of Christ towards other people?
Amen.
That's what true friendship is supposed to be. Jesus said it, John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now understand something. A true godly friend doesn't abandon the friendship. Listen closely here. There's always times in friendships when the relationship gets strained. Always. Because we're human beings.
Right.
With sin natures.
Amen.
And people who aren't true godly friends like to play games. I'm mad at you. I'm not talking to you. I'm not looking at you. I'm not sitting near you in church. I'm not shaking your hand during handshake time. I know we don't have any more, but I'm just saying if we did. I'm going to make sure that I go over here when you go over there, you go there, I'm over here. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make sure I got it all. I'm going to do that. Because you didn't text me. You waited 2 days to answer that text. Really? And you abandoned the friendship. I'm ignoring you. I'm not saying hello to you. I'm acting like I don't see you. I'm pretending you're not there. And I'm not going to answer your text either. They're hot one day, they're cold another day, and they do other childish things. Grow up.
Amen.
And be a Christ-like friend.
Amen.
Please.
Right.
Because somebody that plays those games is not a true godly friend.
Amen.
True godly friends aren't like that.
Right.
They care for you, no expectations. Guess what? I send you the text. You know, the people that are the best friends to me, they'll send me a text, and I may not answer it for a week, and vice versa. I'll send them a text. They might not answer it in a week. Not something that's pressing, but just something. And guess what? We don't care. It's okay. They're busy. I get it. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm not talking to that guy again. That's so childish. That's so ridiculous. True godly friends, they care with no expectations. They lead you in the right direction. They tell you what you need to hear. They base their friendship on trust. And they don't abandon the friendship for anything.
Amen.
They love at all times.
Praise the Lord.
Which leads me to the last thing. Just a second, we're done. And that is the instruction. So now we go back to our text, and we're done right here. Because it all leads to this. Notice, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly.
Amen.
Okay, so here it is. Let's say you want to have friends. Well, don't sit in your seat the whole church service and fold your arms and not look at anybody and go say hello to anybody then.
Right.
Don't wait for them to come to you. Go make a friend. Nobody likes me around here. Wait a minute, you got it backwards. That means you're not being friendly. Because a man that hath friends showeth himself friendly. And so that's what we do. We go and if you want friends, you go and you show yourself friendly to others. But watch this. Don't stop the verse there. Because he says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So you're going to find out when you start meeting people and getting to know them, you're going to say, well, that's not a good friend right there. And I understand the application to the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that. I've heard preaching on it just like you have. But I think what he's saying here is this. Is that when you find somebody that is a true friend that meets the characteristics of the Bible, man, he's going to stick closer to you than a brother.
Amen.
He's going to be better than your earthly relationship with your physical brother. Now, I love my brothers. I do. But I have some friends that are very close to me that their relationship is I would say, probably closer than them. In some ways.
Amen.
And guess what? When I find somebody and you find somebody that's like those characteristics, that's a true godly friend,
Amen.
You ought to befriend them,
praise
hang
Lord.
With them, encourage one another,
Amen.
And be a David and Jonathan, Amen. And imagine what you guys as friends can do for the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Again, the way, what is it? The wisdom of finding and being a true godly friend. So go be a friend to somebody, would you? We can multiply the work around here if we are godly friends and we make godly friends. Amen?
Amen.